Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast, the first podcast of 2026. So from us to you, a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
To hark back to something from 2025, some good news though.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember on one of the last shows of 2025, I talked about receiving crushingly some hideously out of date Cadbury's mini eggs from a mysterious listener called Marie.
Oh yeah, they were like a year. The post was lost for like a year or something.
Exactly, and then got delivered to us like so late, and it would have looked to Marie like wasn't grateful and all this kind of stuff. It was a hideous situation, and we talked about it on the show, and like there was nothing from Marie. Received a card.
Oh. Wow.
To Richie and the rest.
Oh, right, thanks.
I think you're the rest.
Yeah, I think I am the rest. It's like Mike and the Mechanics.
The original package, obviously, of the Easter eggs did come to me, the mini eggs. I'm defending this mysterious Marie. Happy seasonal greetings in whatever season you end up receiving this splendid card. No hard feelings. It was Royal Mail's fault. And she has sent three miniature Dairy Milk bars.
Oh.
So there you go.
I mean, it's lovely that she's done that. We really appreciate it. And she's very brave trusting the post again after the last one.
Yeah.
But I'd love to know how that took a year.
What has happened me too.
There? That is up there. I know they've had the post office scandal.
Yeah.
This is maybe as big.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
It's good to be back.
It is.
Back in the thick of it. And before we even get going, we've had a message, a question into the show from one of you guys. A question that kind of goes back to one of the final couple of radio shows we did in 2025. And it's from Sam in Leicestershire, who says, "Hi lads, welcome back. But before we get too deep in today's show, I need to know, how many pigs in blankets did Richie serve to his guests? And did he end up giving any of his own up?"
This is a show that always struggles to move on. We can never leave the past behind.
Isn't it interesting? There's so much going on in the world. The thing that Sam wants to know, despite everything...
4:10.
There's how many pigs in blankets you served. So let's recap on what the scenario was then, tail end of 2025.
The scenario was that I was doing the big family meal for the first time in many, many years. And it went down a treat. It was a triumph. But the big thing that I was worried about was how many pigs in blankets to serve. I'd bought 40 for 10 people, which was on average 4 per person. And I was roundly told by everybody, yourself and the home time audience, this was stingy, people would hate me, they'd never forget it, I needed more.
I think one nightmare scenario we put to you is that you would end up having to open up your own private stock of pigs in blankets to give to the people that you'd shortchanged.
And I made the point that because I was the cook, my pigs in blankets were ring fenced. No one else could touch mine.
That's protected, it's safe, it's in the bank. So how did it pan out?
So you may remember, a day or so before Christmas, I caved and bought an extra 30 pigs in blankets, taking the total to 70, therefore 7 pigs per person.
You kind of followed the advice of the hometown listeners, right?
I did, I always listen. At the end of the Christmas meal, there were 35 pigs in blankets left over.
What?
Yes. That means 35 were eaten. That means on average, my family ate 3.5 pigs in blankets each. That means I was right.
You were right, and I'm going to stop music because we can't be doing music like that when we're talking about something like this. I feel let down by the people.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
I felt let down by my family. I felt let down by my people. The good side of things was for about 3 days afterwards, I was eating pigs in blankets as if they were crisps.
There you go, leftovers.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
Here's a question for you in this hour of the show as we kick off a brand new year here on the Hometime Show. What food, snack or thing have you still got left over right now as we speak on the 5th of January 2026? Have you got left over from Christmas?
So much cheese. I bought a big old box of Jacob's cheese biscuits.
Oh yeah.
Not even been touched, but so much cheese. I thought people would eat more cheese than they did. Whole great big doorstop of still no one's touched.
That's going to go soon though, isn't it? How long do those kind of things last? Do you know what I mean? It's mould at the end of the day.
It's already mould when you buy it.
Our mother-in-law bought us I think like 7 or 8 Terry's chocolate oranges.
Brilliant.
I've never had so much Terry's chocolate orange. Previously, if we ever got one in the show, I would get you to whack and tap it, or whatever the phrase is, because I'd never done it before. Now I'm a dab hand. Got one left to go. So if you ever get one, I'll be your whack and tap man.
Good man.
Bill and Nicole say, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you guys. Leftovers from Christmas dinner, they made Bubble and Squeak, and they've batch frozen it in the freezer.
Brilliant.
What a great idea.
Tracy says, Gingerbread House. My 11-year-old keeps mind-sweeping a piece every time he runs through the kitchen. I like that. This one doesn't count. Gavin. Gavin is in Abbots Langley. Says, we still got a father-in-law left over.
Oh, but there's a few of them still, again, getting in the way of everyone. Right, we've got Mary on the line. Mary, what have you got left over then?
Oh, just like crisps, Pringles, mini cheddars, those tubs of cheeselets, and this really tasty cherry and almond stolen.
Okay, look, we need to deal with the cheeselets. I don't, and I'll be honest, I don't know what a cheeselet is. Is it a tiny little cheese?
No, no, no. They're the equivalent of mini cheddars, but they're cut in the shapes of trees. And from a very young age, it was always my daughter's favourite. And she's like 32 now, so but I still get them for her every year.
Got to do tradition.
So what is, sorry, you're just saying it's a mini cheddar, but cut in the shape of a Christmas tree?
Yeah.
But slightly different texture, but that kind of thing.
What's, sorry, what's your daughter's name, Mary?
Jessica.
From us to Jessica, time to grow up.
She's not eaten them.
She hasn't touched them with a barge pole.
As an aside, talking about kids growing up, do you think in 30 years' time, people will still be having Stollen at Christmas?
We got into Stollen over Christmas.
Really?
Yeah, we were big into Stollen. Yeah, Stollen's really? The way forward, isn't it, Mary?
Yeah, it's really, really tasty. And I've never had this one, and I saw it as a Tesco find, so I'm not allowed, don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Done it now.
But,
it's too late.
I saw it like just before Christmas, and then I ordered one and made sure I had a good use by date on it. It was quite expensive.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
Brilliant.
Just see it next year.
Just in case anyone's come back to home time in 2026 thinking maybe it'll be different this year. No, we are reviewing Stollen.
Nothing's changed. Yeah. Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. It's really good. You should go for it.
Happy New Year, Mary.
And you guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Matt says he's got an unopened Quality Street tub. Can I just ask the question, what have they done to Quality Street?
What do you mean?
Wrappers now look like dirty pebbles. Do you remember they used to be like, look like treasure, look like something you might find in like a chest in like a Tolkien novel. Now it looks like them stones that you used to get in old people's radiators so they put light underneath. What have they done with them?
I think it's down to recycling. I don't think you can get all the old stuff. You couldn't do it.
Are we saying that is taking a bit of Christmas magic away, recycling? The game's gone.
The game has gone.
Hashtag dirty stones. Karen says, Twiglets, cocktail sausages and mince pies. Mm-hmm. Sounds like the Almond Party. Andrew says, a box of Dairy Winter Collection, a box of Milk Tray, a box of Jacob's Selection crackers, and half a box of Patterson's Shortbread Selection.
Oh, it's the shortbread for me.
I feel like I might have hit that like vanishing point with shortbread over Christmas.
Really?
And he gets to that point where you think, I can't do any more of this.
Really?
This has got to stop.
I can't envisage I'd ever reach that point.
It happened for me.
Rebecca, what's left over?
Lots and lots of turkey.
How come?
Yeah, like I say, my father bought 2 turkey crowns, both feeding 14 people each, but there's only 5 of us for Christmas. And now on top of that with a large, extra large gammon as well. So we've been having...
Stop having a pop at your father-in-law.
It's not a problem with me. It gets to a point where I'm a bit turkeyed out. So
my maths tells me that those 2 crowns then would feed 28 people despite the fact there was only 5 of you.
Oh.
Yes, there was.
So what do you do when you have such an incredible surplus of turkey? What can be done with it?
Oh, well, Bubble and Squeak, turkey Bubble and Squeak, turkey and gammon pie, roasted baguettes with turkey on its own.
Turkey risotto?
Ooh.
So, literally,
replace
any meat with turkey.
That sounds like a home time topic.
Genuinely, that would be a great phone in.
Replace with turkey?
Exactly. Any famous meal, replace it with turkey, see if it works 8, 12, 15. Lovely to speak to you, Rebecca.
Thank
Thank you. Take care.
Stuart says, and a load of other people say the same thing, you can't forget the ultimate turkey curry.
Very good point.
It was staring us in the face.
Dr. Barney in Leeds, on another food matter in the first hour of the show, says, we are having a family favourite tonight, pasta bake, but instead of the sausages in it, it's pigs in blankets. This could well be a game changer.
Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
Now, there's a mantra that's been going around for a long while now, and it's correct. A dog is for life, not just for Christmas. However, that has felt very pertinent for me over the last fortnight. My learning from Christmas 2025, I think bringing a puppy home may well be harder than bringing home a baby.
Whoa, that's a big statement for 2026 right there.
Now, if you are back in the car for the first time in a good fortnight, you may have missed the news just before Christmas on this show that I do now have a dog at home. It is a 10-week-old golden retriever puppy. He is called Eddie. I love him. But wow, that was the least restful Christmas break I have ever had in my 48 years.
So, I mean, don't take this the wrong way. Okay, we've had our meetings and stuff today and everything, and let's just say you do look a bit dishevelled.
Oh, I know I do. I see myself in the mirror. My sleep has gone through the floor. It's just, I'm having conversations that feel like it was when the kids were little,
yeah.
Coming in and going, oh yeah, he had a good 5 hours unbroken last night, you know, it's a good night.
Which is weird, because it's not a conversation you think you'd be having when it comes to dogs and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Let me present my evidence, because I know it's a bold statement I've said there. Bringing home a puppy, harder than a baby. Point number one, you can stick a nappy on a baby. You can't do that on a puppy.
That's a good point, although I bet some old people have. You always see old ladies with, like, dogs in trolleys. I bet they put nappies on them. Do you know what I mean?
Point number two. A baby can't walk for the first year of its life. A puppy can run.
Yeah, that's true.
A baby doesn't bite. A puppy does. Babies don't put holes in your jogging bottoms. I've ruined so many pairs of trousers already.
He's done you a favour, to be fair. Some of them needed to go.
You can take a baby out in a pram immediately and live the life. A puppy, you've got to wait till it's how it's jabs. All of this unburnt energy is in your own home.
All right, my comeback on this, because I disagree with you on this, my comeback on this is winding, right? You don't need to wind a puppy, whereas 95% of bringing a kid up, or babies, and all three of my daughters was the same, is being obsessed with getting them to burp after they've had some milk. And then if they'll be sick on your shoulder and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
If this was a debating society, good comeback, sir. Good comeback. But I come back to you and say, don't need to wind a puppy, because it'll just do it wherever it wants. Like it did on Christmas Day when it did it on the mat in the beginning, in the middle of the kitchen, which I then thought, oh, don't worry, I'll put that in the washing machine. And it broke the washing machine on Christmas Day.
Wow.
And didn't have a washing machine for 4 days because the puppy had done a dirty protest.
Hey, kids, if you're thinking of getting a dog, it's a hell of a lot of fun.
I don't regret it. I don't regret it. But it's harder than a baby.
So I think people listening to this right now might be thinking, he's lost his marbles. He can't be saying this.
Join the debate, all right? If you disagree or you have tips for me, because as Bush says, I look dishevelled right now.
Sorry, I feel that's about an unfair phrase.
It's true. I've got poo bags back in my life for the first time since, like, having... Rocco's nearly eight. What? I poo bags back in the house.
If you're like any other dog owner, don't worry, just tie them to a tree. You get them later. Isn't that what you lot do?
At the moment, can't even, like, take them out there. I mean, my lawn was previously my fourth child. And now that...
Like, it's gone to university now, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's gone to something, I'll tell you that much.
And we haven't even started on the car bit. That's the bit I worry for the most with you, is the car. Do you know what I mean? Hey, what about milk, man? Like, feeding babies milk and all the stuff that goes with whether you breastfeed or formula, that's more complicated and more stressful than a puppy, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it is. I mean, his diet is like... We award our Henry VIII Award on Friday's Home Time shows. He's having, like, lamb liver.
Is he?
And like chicken liver stuff and all this. He's living the life of Riley.
I genuinely, we've talked about this before, sometimes when I've smelt dog food out of the tin, I thought, I think that smells all right. That smells like a carvery. I'd have that.
Having a puppy is harder than a baby. Discuss. Tony says puppies are pretty easy to train if you know the process. The owner is usually the problem, not the dog. Get yourself trained first.
Are you happy with the advice you've been receiving so far?
No, I'm not.
Bobby Melissa's been on to say, I'd forgotten about this until the baby versus puppy chat this evening. Please tell Richie that he can't say babies are easier until he's had to birth the baby himself.
I absolutely take that on board. Absolutely, my wording was bringing home, because I've not birthed the puppy either. Just to be clear, there.
I'll message you back.
Jane, do you agree or disagree?
I am agreeing with you. I think it's harder to have a puppy.
Okay, tell us about your situation then, Jane. What's the proof?
Okay, so we've got a cockapoo who we had from 8 weeks old. She's now 5 months old, but oh my God, the sleepless nights, the just trying to get her to calm down, all of those kinds of things. I mean, I've been asleep on the floor with my hand in the crate. I mean, she's all right now, but it just took a little while to get used to her. So, but she's adorable.
Richie, how old is your dog right now?
10 weeks old now.
So you've got until, the very least, according to Jane, 5 months.
Can you imagine what I'm going to look like in 5 months' time?
It's like you got the England job. The white fleck of hair. Any advice for Richie at this stage, Jane, as someone who's got a dog a bit longer than
him? Well, in the time that I've had, I've probably aged about 10 years.
Brilliant.
However, we did get on side. Our grandparents, so my parents absolutely adore her. And so puppy sitting, they're great for. So, yeah, you need to make sure that the puppy's incredibly cute and you'll get people around to help you out.
Right.
You need help, essentially.
Yeah. Boil it down, yeah. Yes. Jane, thank definitely. You for the encouragement.
No problem. Good luck.
Lee in Wimbledon says, it took me 4 nights to sort out my dog's sleeping habits. Our middle daughter didn't sleep properly for 10 years. Just saying.
There you go. Hope. Is there hope?
Yeah, Lee, come on over tonight.
All right, then. You're trying to sort some stuff out for yourself. Make sure Natalie's out of the house.
I should clear up. I don't regret bringing home this puppy. I love him. I love him, but it's just really tough.
It is.
I'm just venting. I've been at home for a fortnight, just clearing up poo and wee and being gnawed at. But he's brilliant, but...
Someone's mentioned, used the phrase on text, puppy blues.
Yes.
It's the puppy blues.
I think it could be. Thank you for all your messages. And I've had this email from Steve, who said, hope you invested in a good vacuum at Christmas as well. Golden Retrievers are the hairiest hounds around. Oh. They are the best dogs ever, though.
If there was a balance between hope and the opposite of hope, mm-hmm. I feel like we're tipping towards the opposite of hope. Do you know what I mean? Don't take it the wrong way.
We are more despair at the moment, yeah. But I think I'm going to plough on through and hope is around the corner.
This person here says, we collected our two boys, Richmond and Mattison, two miniature Dachshunds.
Pause at this stage. Do you really want to read out the rest of this? Is it going to give me hope or despair?
Probably despair, but it's going to make me laugh, I'm going to read it out. Our two miniature Dachshunds, a week before Christmas, we now share the house with 2 6-inch velociraptors.
Thank you.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
Don't know about you, but I've been looking forward to this because, you know, it's an hour of non-judgmental moaning here on the Home Time Show. It's time for Minor Monday Moans. If there's something very minor, something that maybe you've not felt like you're able to bring up with other people, because I know there's a lot of stuff going on in the world at the moment, so you don't think it's the right place to be talking about it, get it off your chest with us. Anything too small, nothing's too small. 8, 12, 15.
Here's a Minor Monday Moan for you. This is the kind of thing. So over Christmas, Liverpool Street, which is the London terminal that my trains come into, yep, has been closed for a fortnight. So all of the trains into London from my local station have had to go to Stratford, and then you get on the tube to come into London. So Liverpool Street has been shut for 2 weeks. So when I come in on the train today, I'm thinking, this is going to be amazing. I couldn't notice anything different. I don't know what they've been doing for 2 weeks.
That's always the same with, like, roadworks and stuff as well, isn't it? You think, right, these guys have been working on this overnight. This is going to look amazing.
Yeah, and what's the difference?
What have they done?
I don't know what they've done. They've taken down some scaffolding.
That's a very legitimate moan, and it's annoying.
And minor.
Well, it's a minor moan. Yeah, you're right. For me, my Minor Monday moan is the amount of toilet roll that kids use. I've got three daughters.
That's okay? Such a dad moan as well.
I never thought I'd be moaning about this, but it is out of control. And I don't want to start any form of gender war here. I think girls are worse for this. I've got three daughters, and the amount of toilet roll they use is outrageous. The other night I went up there to flush it, because I'm the only one who flushes the toilet in the entire house as well. I thought I thought a mummy from the world of Egypt had, like, dissolved in our toilet upstairs. They don't flush. No one flushes. I do the flushing. Anyway, I feel good for getting it off my chest.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
So look, you can see from the two of us how cathartic a minor Monday moan is. Get it off your chest. It's a safe space. 8, 12, 15 for your texts. How about this, though? Here's vindication for me. Text message, 8, 12, 15. Text message. Have I gone back 20 years? I don't understand.
Here we go, guys. Text message.
Train driver here. I concur. Not a lot has changed either for me. Must be something behind the scenes, but I'm damned if I know what they've done. All the best, guys.
I think they've just been mucking about.
Very topical from AJ, who is in Kent, 5th of January, obviously, and says, I'm trying to eat less sugar from today, yet I have a mince pie and some brandy butter left. Now I can't eat it, and that is unfair.
Temptation for you right there. Earlier on, I mentioned my little minor Monday moan was the fact that all of my daughters, all the girls in my house, use too much toilet roll and never flush the loo. And I was saying it was kind of a girl thing. Julia says, I live with three boys, and I'm the only one who flushes. And at least you're not wiping endless amounts of dribble off the rim and having to lower the seat every time when you need to go. Okay, seems like it's maybe a little bit more nuanced than I first thought.
Anonymous, this one. But I think a lot of people will chime with this. I'm tired of motorways closing at night, as if nobody uses them after 10 p.m.
We've talked about this before on the show. When I was a kid, we used to get put in the car in our pyjamas to go up to Liverpool or whatever, all the time. Parents used to drive overnight. We tried it a couple of times recently, and it's an absolute nightmare.
Can't do it.
Close it in front of you as you're going, trying to block you off like the Truman Show. Michaela says, I'd like to moan about bottled tonic water that explodes violently when you first open it. find a way to sort this out.
I think someone's been shaking Michaela's tonic water.
If that's a euphemism, we've lost a listener.
Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
Well, that's it for your Daily Takeaway podcast. The only awkward thing now about these three chocolate bars that have been sent by the mysterious Marie.
Yeah.
As I said to you earlier, since midnight at New Year's Day, not a drop of chocolate has passed my lips.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So you've got Marie with this kind of backdrop of a story where she sent chocolates to you. It's taken a year to get there, like the salt path or something, and then it's just not happened. It hasn't quite happened. Yeah. Now she sent them and you're not having chocolate.
It's really awkward. And I'm kind of worried. You know, you remember Finding Nemo? You know that moment, like, that there's a friendly shark and then he senses that tiny little bit of blood? And he's like suddenly after everything.
Oh yeah!
I'm just worried that one little sniff of chocolate, and I'm back.
A tiny wafer will not hurt. Wafer, a wafer thin.